Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. You can see my show and tell here this morning. This is the first part of my show and tell anyway. Today is Sinterklaas Day. Sinterklaas is Dutch for Saint Nicholas. And St. Nicholas has a habit of leaving chocolate or money or both in your shoes if you set them out, your klompen especially if you have them. Today is St. Nicholas's liturgical feast day today. And since we have a special connection in our family, we celebrate this way. Here is St. Nicholas in a more recent painting, providing a dowry for three impoverished young women. St. Nicholas was a 3rd or 4th century saint. And this is one of the most famous stories from St. Nicholas's life. The story goes that there was a man who had been rich, but he fell on hard times. And he was so poor that he could not afford dowries for his three daughters. In those days, if a young woman were to be married well, her family had to have something of value to provide to a prospective bridegroom. And without a dowry, a woman was unlikely to be able to marry, and that could mean terrible things for her life. Well, word of this reached Nicholas, who was not yet known to be a saint. Nicholas had inherited wealth from his family, and when he heard this story of these three young women without dowries, he came by in secret one night and tossed a bag of gold into the house. You can see him reaching through the window there. And the bag of gold sailed in, and it landed in a shoe that the young woman had left before the fire to dry. And in the morning, when the family awoke, they found this gold and they were able to marry this first daughter, and she was provided for. So not long after, another bag of gold appeared in another shoe, and the second daughter was able to be married off, and the father was now very interested to know who this secret benefactor was, so he kept watch during the night. And when a third bag of gold came in the window and landed in another shoe, the father jumped up and he caught the fleeing donor. But Nicholas turned and said to him, "I don't want any embarrassment for you. I want you to be able simply to thank God for these gifts that have been provided as an answer to your prayers for deliverance." Saint Nicholas became the patron of many different parts of life, including unmarried people, as you can see here. So it's fitting that on Saint Nicholas's feast day, we get the story of one of the most famous unmarried people in the Bible. Last week, we heard the story of the angel Gabriel going to visit a man named Zechariah, whose wife Elizabeth was about to become pregnant. Now we see the same angel Gabriel going to visit Elizabeth's cousin, it would seem. Her name was Mary. You might have heard of her. Will you pray with me? God Most High, we seek you in these words of Scripture. Overshadow us with your Holy Spirit, and let your beloved Son be born in us again. Amen. The Scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's not only the Feast of St. Nicholas, of course, it is also our monthly feast day when we share in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, when we take Jesus' presence into our very selves. You may think that's not a particularly Presbyterian way to put it, but it is when you know why we call it communion. It's true that Presbyterian tradition teaches that Jesus is not directly present in these material elements. This is why we can celebrate the sacrament online while some other traditions can't. And obviously, we always respect other folks' theological perspectives. But we believe, even as we share what is just bread and juice, or bread and wine, or whatever it is you've got in front of you as material things right now, we believe that as we share that, Christ is spiritually present with us. Our prayer as we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper includes language about lifting up our hearts to heaven and filling us with the Holy Spirit. Our tradition knows that it is impossible for us to understand how that works. It's impossible for us to know the mechanism by which Christ becomes fully present with us in that sharing. But we believe that to be the case, that in this human act of sharing, Christ is truly present with us. That's actually true throughout the Christian life. Christian theology emphasizes the way that God lives in us. We may not know how, we may not have all of the mechanics worked out, but the presence of the Holy Spirit is what gives the church its life. And we know that the Holy Spirit is not only present in the church as such. The Bible and Christian history teach us that God is in the world beyond us. The Bible and Christian history teach us that mission is not so much about taking God into the world as if God weren't there, but mission is about catching up with where God is, bringing God as we know God together with God as God is already active in the world around us. But we also do know that God is uniquely, specially present in the church. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down and fills the church. The Holy Spirit is with the Hebrew people long before that, and all the way back to the creation, the Holy Spirit has been present in unique and special ways in the world. And today, in our scripture reading, we read how the Holy Spirit overshadows one particular Hebrew woman. Her name was Mary. And overshadows not only her. This is always the case with the Holy Spirit. This is the whole church's story. The 13th century mystic Meister Eckhart put it this way. He said, "We are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to His Son if I do not also give birth to Him in my time and my culture? This, then, is the fullness of time, when the Son of Man is begotten in us." And so we step into this scripture reading. When Mary was commissioned to carry the Son of God into the world, when she gave that yes that changes everything in the world, there's Mary in a risky situation. She's marriageable, she's engaged, in fact, but she's not yet married. And that's an important status. It's important that she not yet be married because that gives a connection to a sign that Isaiah had handed down to us that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. But the fact that Mary is engaged means that this son has a connection through Mary's fiancé, his name is Joseph, has a connection all the way back to the lineage of King David. But, as contemporary New Testament scholar Shively Smith points out, engagement also means that Mary is kind of between households. She's no longer fully under her father's protection, but she's not yet fully part of Joseph's family either. And we know about transitional times, that transitional times are especially vulnerable in someone's life. Mary was especially vulnerable at the moment that this story takes place. That's when the angel announces that Mary will become pregnant. And Mary says yes. She says yes to this part in a future that she can't foresee. We know that if we are parents, right? Parenting is always about participating in a future that we can't foresee, opening ourselves to joy and pain and possibility that we have no real way of anticipating. And it's just more so when your child happens to be Jesus, the Son of God. Really, all life with Jesus is like that, whether you're a parent or not in a human sense. All life with Jesus is about making room for the Holy Spirit, who will never leave our lives the way God found them. The Holy Spirit will never fit into life the way life is, and so that Holy Spirit who comes into our lives despite being too big for our lives, the Holy Spirit is always changing and transforming us. Mary will sing next week for us about just how much Jesus will change the world. This season of Advent, we are invited to make room for Jesus' birth in our own lives, just as the world makes room for a future that is continuing to develop within us, as we make room for a future with vaccines that we have long been hoping for, as we make room for the future with mutual assistance funds that allow for everyone to have what they need, as we make room for next year's harvest with fields that have been cleared or planted with cover crops for the spring. We make room this Advent for Jesus' birth by giving gifts to families that we may never know. We make room with humble and prayerful partnership with communities unlike ourselves. We make room with prayers and songs that we may bring out especially for this season. Speaking of songs, you'll notice that the hymn that we are about to sing is probably unfamiliar to you, and it is definitely long. This hymn actually retells the entire scripture reading in a poetic and musical way. And really, this fits Luke's way of telling the story of Jesus' birth. This fits Luke's way of telling us the story of God coming into particular moments in particular human lives to do things that are transformative for the entire world. God acts and humans respond with a song. And Mary meditates on this story as it happens. Luke often stops to tell us that Mary was just allowing the deeper meaning of all of this to soak in. And so, as we sing this hymn together, or listen and reflect on the words of this hymn, allow this to be a time of meditation, a time to make room for the one who is coming to birth among us and within us by singing what we have just heard. And now, a moment for mission. Today, as we prepare to receive our offering, we lift up the Adopt a Family program. Covenant is adopting 4 families this year through West Des Moines Human Services. Each member of the family has a specific wish list, and we invite Covenant members to sign up, buy, and wrap one or more items from the list. As of this morning, we are seeing about 7 remaining slots to sign up for specific items go out, purchase, and wrap for our 4 Adopt-A-Family families. This is your last chance to sign up. We want to get those gifts put together this week. If you have already signed up, thank you so much for that. Remember to drop your wrapped gifts off at the church by Sunday, December 13th. Just place those gifts in the tub outside the church office door, or if you have a building key, you can get right in and leave them in the entryway right by the office. Thank you all for your support of this mission project. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.